You're listening to Good Morning with Ashley, where we will journey through finding the good in life's transitions. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Good Morning Podcast Season 4. Guys, you have been rocking with me for a while now, and I am grateful. I'm just appreciative of all of the support and the love that you all have been offering. And we are kicking off Season 4 with something different. Y'all can see me, okay? Y'all can see me now. And so this is something different, but wanted to go ahead and put a face with the voice and with the name of the Good Morning Podcast. So thank you for watching and listening to me today. So today, with kicking off Season 4, I have a special guest. Y'all know she's my favorite girl in the whole wide world. My mommy is here.
Hey, Ashley.
Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Yes, we haven't had Mom on the Good Morning Podcast since Season 1. So it was time.
Okay.
Yes, it was time. Okay. I was trying to give her a break. You know, she's pastoring. She's a best-selling, I'm speaking that, author.
That's great.
Yes, okay. She already has her two books out, and so she's joining me today as my mommy, but she's also joining me as my pastor, and you'll understand why I'm saying that when we get into our topic today. Before we get started, Mom, greet the people. Say hello.
Well, hello, everyone. Yes. Ashley, thank you so much for inviting me to be with you today. It's always an honor. I don't take it for granted because you're my daughter, but I do appreciate you allowing me to be a part of this episode.
Yes.
I tell you, it's an interesting one we're about to share with you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So today's topic, y'all ready?
Oh, my.
Church hurt. Now, we might step on some toes, then we might free some toes today. But either way, I'm glad that you're listening because it's imperative that we talk about this. I think this is something, Mom, that everybody, or not everybody, but I think at some point in your Christian walk, you're going to experience a little bit of church hurt, whether it be on purpose, whether it be, you know, somebody didn't mean to or anything like that. This is something that I don't think you just kind of like not experience ever kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. You're going to experience church hurt. I've experienced it on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced it as a leader. I've experienced it as a member.
Yes.
And so the Bible tells us in Luke.
Preach. I'm ready.
Here we go. Well, I gotta go to the Bible.
Go to it.
And so it tells us offense will come.
Yes, it will.
It will come. So, and we've all experienced it. And offense not only comes at church, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So I think that we're going to go through some points, but I think that a great place to start would be expectations. I feel like people are hurt or have these different hurts as it relates to the church. It's because they come to the church with an expectation, you know, and to me, a false one, an unrealistic expectation.
Okay.
People come to church and they think, I thought it would be different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They think that when they come here that they are not going to experience any type of hurt, any type of danger, any ill feelings, anything that makes them feel anything other than loved and bubbly. And this is my sister in Christ. And this is my brother in Christ. And this is my pastor. And I love everybody. That's not going to always be the case because a church is a place of healing. So that means people are coming with all types of things wrong with them, all types of things that they're trying to get over and things like that. So it doesn't necessarily leave it as a place where you may go unscathed of feeling anything because this is a place where people are trying to get over their mess.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about like the unrealistic expectation. Like, what do you think, Mom? Like how, or Pastor, Mom, Pastor, Mommy, like, what do you think? Like, how do you think that people are approaching this as far as their expectations are concerned with the church?
Well, I think that, first of all, it's normal and it's healthy to think that you could go to the church and the church would be a safe place.
Of course.
All right. And it doesn't mean that it's not a safe place because offense come or things happen. But I think, as you already stated, that there are unrealistic expectations that we come expecting from the church with imperfect people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when we come to church, we have to realize that the people that are part of the church, they also have experienced hurt and disappointment mm-hmm. and condemnation and so many other things that go along with hurt. And so when they come with this expectation, and then you meet up with these imperfect people.
Yes.
So because what we got to understand that it's by the grace of God that we are able to do what we do. When we start talking about believers, it's not on our own mm-hmm. that right. we're able to do this. It's through God's grace that we have the ability to do what we do. When we look at even in the Bible, and I have to go back to the Word of God because this is our guideline. But when we look at the Word of God, the men of God that served God were imperfect people. Mm-hmm. When you think about Abraham, he was a liar. Mm-hmm. When you think about David, you know, he slept with another man's wife. And plus he had that man killed.
My God.
When we think about, who else we can think about? When we think about Jacob and when we think about different things that happened, those men and women of God became perfect through the grace of God, not through themselves. Mm-hmm. But these people became great people based on that grace. But they were still imperfect people
Absolutely.
That served God. So when we look at this, we have to change our attitude when we come to church. We can come to church with an expectation of hearing the Word of God. We should be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the church hurt that we're experiencing is we got, I think, and especially in this generation, they're having problems with all the do's and the don'ts.
Yes.
The do, the don't.
Yes.
They're offended based on that. And because they can't come in doing all these things that they have given these leaders, have an unrealistic expectation of people who are also coming in.
Right.
All right. So right. I think that unrealistic attitude is on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we have, you know, you can't, you got to catch the fish before you clean it.
See.
You know, you can't clean it and you ain't in it still.
And you ain't caught
right.
it.
You got to catch the fish and clean it. And how do that fish get clean? Well, when we speak of in regards to the people of God, then they get clean through the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Not with all the man-made rules. See, the pandemic, you know, it came and it took out some stuff. And I know I can't go that way
because yeah.
that's a whole nother discussion.
That's a whole episode, right.
But yes, I think that it definitely comes from unrealistic expectations on both sides.
And I think that people expect to be wounded everywhere except the church.
My God.
Yeah.
Because you get it at the gas station.
Listen,
you're going to get it at work.
Going to get it at
you're
work.
You're going to get it in your family, mm-hmm. different types of relationships. You're going to do, hey, when we're dating.
We extend so much grace when we're dating.
Well, listen, years of grace. Okay.
All caps, years, in all capital letters. of grace. Yes, we do.
And so we do that. And we come back. And we forgive and we stay.
And we stay.
But it's a funny thing about the church. As soon as they offended one time.
One time. I got to go. This ain't for me.
I got
and you on the internet. It's
church
a whole,
ain't for me.
It's a post about the
yes.
church. And this church is disgusting. Yes. And this church is, I mean, and it's so sad. It's so sad because, like you said, we give everybody a chance to do things the wrong way. So many times, except for the church. While the church is full of flawed people. So it's a place that yes. you can expect perfection.
Right.
We may strive. That's the goal, is to strive for that.
Yeah.
But it's an imperfect place for imperfect people. That's why it's there.
That's
you
right.
know. And so, like you said, we extend grace in so many other areas. Like you said, the job. So many people have been hurt at their jobs and in relationships and their
but
jobs.
They don't quit their job.
They don't quit their job. They work overtime.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they work overtime. I'm going to pick up a shift. And are you working? I can take your shift. You not. You know, we make ourselves available to what we want to make ourselves available to. And I just think that it's just so sad that we give the church this misconception mm-hmm. of them being perfect, and that's not the case. And so, like I said, the next thing that we're talking about is really baggage.
Yes.
When we come to the church, we're coming with all kinds of things. We're coming with, you know, our hurts, our sicknesses, whether they be physical, mental, emotional, you know, we're trying to overcome some things. So we come mm-hmm. to church with all of these things. And I like to look at church like a hospital, you know, mm-hmm. church is a hospital. Mm-hmm. Everybody that come in there is a patient. And, absolutely. You know, we look at the pastor as the doctor, okay? We look at, like, you going to fix me. I want you to fix
but
me.
Wait a minute. Does
doctors get sick?
Do you? Oh, I just want
okay.
to know.
Okay. Doctors, know doctors are not as, sick. Doctors get mm. sick. And so it's like, we have this expectation of, you know, the church, our pastor being this person who is supposed to be perfect. Wow. And it's completely unfair. We expect the director of praise and worship to be perfect and the person over the usher board to be perfect. We all these different, you know, because you got to go to the hospital, you got the maternity ward, you got the maternity doctors, you got the ER doctors. So we got little places where we have these people who are in leadership who are flawed as well. We're all still working on ourselves. And I say that as being a praise and worship leader at my church. I'm not perfect, and I may have offended somebody in my position. I'm right. not perfect, you know? Right. And so it's like we have this expectation of you're not allowed to get sick.
Wow.
You're not allowed that's to good, do the actually. Same. You're not allowed
yeah,
to you know, have the same issues that I have. You're not mm-hmm. allowed to have a short temper. You in leadership. You're not allowed to, you know, have an attitude one day. You're not allowed to not feel like it. You're not allowed. You can't have a bad day. You cannot. And so that's so unfair to those who make themselves constantly available to the church to lend their hand that, you know, we have these people, these patients that come in who we're trying to work with and we're trying to help while we're trying to help while we need help. You know, mm-hmm. and so they have these expectations that are just so false and unfair. You know, why did you come here if you expected everything to be perfect and it's not
perfect?
You know,
and I think again that's the unrealistic attitude that mm-hmm. we have when we come. And one of the things I want to also say about offense, and I'm calling it offense. We say church hurt, but I'm just going to call it offense. One of the things that we have to realize as well is that when we start thinking about loyalty, okay, I'm gonna go just a slight direction from here. Loyalty. When you've been in leadership a long time, and the pastor as a pastor, let me speak as a pastor, and then you have this expectation from your members. Okay, and then when different things happen with the members, as David said, where did he say this? He said this in 2 Samuel 22:36. You know, you. These are the people that I sat with, I was acquainted with, that mm-hmm. I told my stories to, that mm-hmm. I gave all my business to. These are the people that, you know, I didn't ate with. All right, you've been at my house. And then we have this relationship, I'm talking about offense,
yeah.
when people leave church, church hurt, because you know what? They don't see it as offense then, they see it as betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
See, it looked like you betrayed me.
Yeah, that's good.
Because man. Of the loyalty that we were supposed to have with one another.
Right.
Again, we talked about it, you and I shared that, you know, when people decide to leave, man, do you understand what you're doing when you leave? You know, a lot of things are done and created based on membership.
Mm-hmm.
And when you decide and money is spent and things have to be taken care of, things have to be done, and then all of a sudden, you know, and this is what we say now, my season is up.
That's their favorite line.
My
it's the favorite
is
one.
Up, but
it's
you know
favorite
what?
One. It's
the you know what? But
I'm gonna jump out the
but
chair.
As a pastor, I can't say my season up.
You are not
I gotta
allowed.
Show up every Sunday, even when you offend me.
You're preaching.
When you hurt me, when you know when that loyalty is not there, mm-hmm. I still gotta show up. And this is the thing that we need to understand about offense, based on Luke 17:1. That it's going to come. You can't just jump up and leave because you've been offended. We already see that. We already brought that out. You don't leave your job. Mm-hmm. You go back to the same gas station.
Absolutely.
You'll go to the same grocery store. You know, and you was offended. I ain't never coming back here no more. No, you come back because there's a need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that need will bring you back there. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that should not be the first option.
Leaving, yeah.
Is leaving, because we need to understand the whole body of the church and that it takes people to make that church run.
Absolutely.
So when you jump up and you leave and you feel like, hey, I can just throw up my hands and do that. Listen, I can't even tell y'all my church hurt.
Because
y'all know the people that hurt. So I can't even tell you about my church hurt.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I've had church hurt. But guess who didn't hurt me? It wasn't Jesus.
It wasn't the Lord.
It was not God. Glory to God. It was not him that hurt me. I'm sorry.
No, yes, it wasn't the Lord. So why is that the option? Why do people feel like the first thing they need to do is stop going to church? And I'm not talking about those people who may stop and go to another church or anything mm-hmm. like that. But people who just have a bad experience and leave and don't come back. They say, I done been through this too. I gave the church a chance, and this is why I don't go to church. I don't like organized religion. I mean, it's a whole thing.
Oh, no, and don't leave this one out. Too many hypocrites.
Too many hypocrites.
But they everywhere.
They're everywhere.
I said they're everywhere.
And that's one of my points here, is that church is a place that has a revolving door of healing.
Right.
It never stops.
Right.
So people are constantly in a place of healing, period. That's outside of the church, everything. Every time you get over one thing, it's going to be something else that you're putting yourself in a position to heal from. It doesn't necessarily have to be something within your body, but it could be something emotionally. It can be an offense. It can be anything. You know, we're constantly in a place of trying to make sure that we're good all the way, spirit, soul, and body. So that's why I'm saying that it's a place of revolving healing. It's going to be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, why do you feel like, you know, when you come here that this place is only allowed one chance to be perfect? And that's not fair. And so when you're hurt, mm-hmm. like I said, church is a hospital. You're
yes.
hurt and you get sick. But are you, when you get to this point, you know, when you get this hurt, are you spreading an infection?
Oh,
so
my.
When you go and you're hurt, do you go and tell people, I'm still at this church, but let me tell y'all what they did now.
Yes.
Let me tell you what these folks
yes.
did at this
you
church.
Infectious.
And don't go over here, because let me tell you what they got going on at this church.
Mm-hmm.
And don't go to that church, because I've been there too and they did this, that. Like, why, if it hurts you so much, why are you going to spread it to other people so it can hurt them too? People who have never been to some of these ministries and have no clue about what's going on over here, that the first thing that they may hear is something negative because you had a bad experience. And let's talk about, if you contributed to your bad experience.
Wow.
Because sometimes people like to put all the blame on the church. But
mm-hmm.
what did you do?
Wow. Well, I have a question too. Have you had a conversation with the person that offended you?
Oh, no, we're not doing that.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not going to have a
yeah,
conversation.
Because I think that's Bible too.
Mm-hmm.
That we're supposed to, if we've been offended, we're supposed to go to the person that offended us.
Correct.
Right? And we should have a conversation.
Absolutely.
And I'm paraphrasing it. And if that conversation doesn't work well with the both of us, then we need to bring someone in as a mediator
mm-hmm.
so that we can talk it out. And I think that's a part of the problem that we're having also with church hurt. And remembering that we have imperfect people.
Correct.
Is that we don't have a conversation.
Mm-mm.
You have to have a conversation. All right.
You know why they don't want to have conversations, though? Because mm-hmm. conversations take you having to have some accountability.
Mm.
And then that's something that we lack as a species.
Okay.
I'm not going to just put that in church. But I think that people in general outside of the church lack accountability. Nobody wants to accept the part that they played.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to own up to their own mess. Because I don't want to look at myself. Because
right.
I'm wonderful.
Right. Oh. No.
It's something wrong with you.
Okay.
You're the problem, not me.
Yeah.
You know. And so it's like that accountability factor is just lacking. So having a conversation, is it the right thing to do? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But can I have a conversation and accept the part that I played? Probably not.
Wow.
Probably not. Because I don't want to be accountable. Because you're supposed to know better. You're the pastor. You're not supposed to be offending me. You're the pastor.
Right.
You know, I'm the sheep. You're supposed to be guiding me. You hurt me by this, you know, or by saying this, or, you know, and people get hurt too. Like sometimes church hurt is person didn't do anything, or the pastor or the leader didn't do anything, but say what's in the Bible.
And I was going to say that people do not want correction.
Mm.
You know, that's what a leader is supposed to do, bring correction. First of all, you shouldn't be under anybody that you don't trust.
That's
you good. You should not just join the church because I like the choir. Or I love the praise team, or my friends go there, or, you know, whatever that choice may be, other than this is where God sent me. Because if God sent you there, that is the place for you to be.
Absolutely.
You have to learn how to blossom where you've been planted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a plant just can't just get up and decide, I don't want to be in this pot no more. The plant has to stay in the pot until it grows, outgrow the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a transformation that does not damage the plant, that allows it to take deeper roots and to gives it room to grow. But nobody wants to go through anything over here, the correction. I can't just tell you how wonderful you are all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime I got to tell you, why are you late every Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Because that's an issue.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Because you're going to be on time
for
work.
Wait a minute, and you're the keyboard player.
Oh.
Yeah, and so I got to ask you about being late, and mm-hmm. then you decide, hey, I ain't got to take this.
I'm offended. Because I was wrong, and somebody pointed out me being wrong.
Right, and so I got to correct you, and people don't want correction. So when there's no correction, there's no room for growth.
Mm.
You're right. And I want to say this. Our response to offense determines our future.
Mm-hmm. It does.
How you respond to offense determines your future. It determines, you know, what's going to happen with the potential, your purpose in life. And my purpose, going back to church hurt, all the hurt that I experienced, man, it helped me to grow tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ashley, I'm in good fellowship with the people that hurt me.
A lot of people can't say that.
Because it has everything to do with your response. I have to respond correctly because my future is involved.
Absolutely.
My purpose is involved. My anointing is involved. And man, I'm going to allow something so trivial, so small to come in and make me decide I'm leaving? No.
Because the hate for church can become generational. Mm. So you could have gotten hurt.
Right.
And sold that into us.
No, I was hurt.
You were hurt.
I was very hurt.
And you could have sown that into us.
Right.
You could have said, we ain't going to do church. This,
yeah.
Let me tell you what they do at the church. They do this, and you don't want to be a part of that. And you don't want to do,
right.
And we could have, as your children, had a hatred in us for church. And then we have children.
Absolutely.
Well, you know the church hurt you, because we stopped going, so we don't necessarily know the hurt, because we stopped going because you stopped going.
Yeah.
You know the church hurt your grandma. Because I don't know, it didn't hurt me because I wasn't there, but it hurt your grandmother, so we're not going to do that.
You stopped going because of what you heard me say about the
exactly.
church.
Exactly. Not you my know, own experience.
what we're saying about Pastor Jones.
Yes.
And Jackson and
yes,
all them pastors.
Yes.
And so you've determined, I don't need him. You know, if he act, I already understand my issues, and he got issues, and at least, and this is what they say, at least I'm not a hypocrite. I don't bring it to church. No, you know, that's not what make you a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what you're saying is so true, which have caused a lot of people to make decisions that they not coming to church. Is that a good decision? That is
not a good decision.
Good decision.
And that brings me to my next point. Does it give you the right to leave?
I say no.
And I don't think so either. I think we talked about this too, Mom. When you are in search for a ministry, you know, whether it be you are fresh off into these Christian streets or if you've been going to church all your life, I say that you should be looking at it how you look for a house on the market. You go to the property. You say, okay, now I like this. This is nice. Let me ride around the neighborhood and see what else is going on because I don't want anything to devalue my property.
Right.
I don't want anything to devalue what's on the inside of me. So let me come in here and sit for a little while before I make a decision. Right. Or let me ask some people who I know who have been a part of this ministry before, hey, what were your experiences here? You ain't got to give me all the negative things, but give me some things. How do you feel like it would benefit me? We don't vet these ministries anymore.
Wow.
We just go.
Yeah.
Oh, because they got 17 services and I can just choose whichever one I'm going to go to. So.
And don't let a new church start.
Oh, yeah, because I want
to
be a...
Yeah, because I got to go. And so we do.
Because they need me.
Yeah. And we hop from one church to another church.
Yeah.
We just going from one place to another because now it is huge. There are so many, many ministries out here now. And I like that word that you use, vetting. Have you sat there? Have you waited for God to tell you this is the place?
Mm.
This is where you need to be? Because let me tell you something. When you're in the right place, you can handle. You can handle is going on.
And this is how we grew up, Mama. I mean, we kind of not necessarily grew up the same all the time, you know, because there's a little difference in the, you know, but you my girl. But... how you would come to a church and the pastor would say, where did you come from? Who is your pastor? Where did you come from? Okay, now did you leave right?
Ma'am.
And so when they find out if you left right or not, well, then you need to go back and fix that before I can let you come over here. Or I need to have a conversation with your former leader to make sure that everything is all right before I allow you to come in here. Because sometimes that has to be done. When people work hard on their ministries to make it be a certain way, they don't just, it's not, and I don't want it to seem like it's like a club where you can only be let in, but sometimes you need to ask these questions because people go around and they sow discord into different ministries for a livelihood. This is what they do. I just love that. This is what I do. I go and I start a fire here and I leave, and then I go over here and I start a fire and I leave, you know, and so pastors used to ask that instead of just being so, because we become number hungry with churches sometimes, that they don't ask anymore about where did you come from and how did you leave right? Is everything okay? Yes. You know, was there any issues? You know, okay. You know, stuff like they don't do that anymore. So people just roam freely and got bastards.
Oh,
you do. You have them, unfortunately, that don't have any type of coverings, who haven't had anybody imparting anything to them. And so when you go to a place and this is still having something to do with church hurt and church offense, it's like, what's on the inside of you that makes you become so offended with certain things? You know, are you really offended? Are you really hurt? Or is this drama?
Right.
Is this what you do?
And if you're not healed of that hurt, you're just carrying that hurt to the next place.
Absolutely.
Where you're going. Now, I'm totally in agreement. When people come to Rapha Ministry International, I had a couple come, and we had a conversation, and I knew that there was pain there, and I said, "You can't join yet. You have to heal." You gotta straight, cause then I'm allowing you to bring your infection in here, and you gonna infect, cause you look fine.
You look good.
But you gonna infect my people. All right. So I need to have a conversation. I've had a conversation when people wanna come. I've had pastors call me if my members went somewhere else, and it's called respect.
Go ahead no more.
Ooh, it's called respect for the ministry. We're supposed to be concerned about your soul, not numbers. About your soul, So I have to be willing to tell you, oh, you didn't do that right. You all need to go back. Mm-hmm. Go back until you are released. I can remember, Ash, when I was getting ready to leave, when I was leaving Mount Sinai mm-hmm. to come to perfecting, and I had a conversation with Bishop Middleton, and he wasn't ready for me to leave. And he was like, girl, I can't handle that right now. This is, guess what I did? I stayed.
Because there was the respect.
Because it's respect. Wow. And then he was my leader. And so I had to stay there and be released properly. Why? Because my response determines my future. So I stayed until he released me. People don't do that today.
No, they don't even need you to release them.
They go. They may not even say they released. They may not send a letter. They may not call. Listen, it's a trick, saints. It's a trick because it's only going to keep you going from one place to another. So, you know, you have to, we need to get back to the respect of the ministry. Whatever that is that made you lose your reverence, we need to get that back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need to get that back.
I agree. So in wrapping this up.
Okay.
How do we get over it? How do you get over your church offense, your church hurt, your misconceptions of the church? What I would like to say or believe that the first way to overcome something is acknowledging the problem. And I think that with acknowledging it is acknowledging your hurt. Mm-hmm. And what may be valid of that, but mm-hmm. also, like I said, acknowledging the part that you played as well.
Right.
So that also involves a level of honesty with that yourself. you have to be honest with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly with that.
And then I would say the next thing would be a conversation with the offender, like we said before.
There has to be a conversation.
I agree. I think that sometimes, like I said, people don't want to have those conversations because the accountability isn't there. Sometimes people just aren't really ready to have that accountability. But those conversations, I say it all the time, and I believe I said it in this very setting, that conversations heal.
Yes.
And so sometimes we can be offended by things, and the person doesn't even know that they offended us.
Right.
So I wouldn't have known that you were offended had we not had this conversation. You walking around thinking I knew I hurt your feelings and I had no clue.
Yeah. You know what we did leave out?
What?
We left out when two members have a confrontation.
Absolutely.
And you leave and I don't know nothing about why you left. Because again, that's the acknowledgement of it. That is also a conversation that needs to be had. And if it's not even with the person that offended you, you need to have a conversation with the pastor. Mm-hmm. The next thing I know, you're leaving. What happened?
Sister so-and-so.
Yeah.
She offended me.
Yeah. Did you come to me? Did you give me an opportunity to see if I could correct whatever this problem is? So that's another thing that people do. And that's so important.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a part of that. Confronting and having a conversation with the person that hurt you. So you're right. Acknowledging, first of all, yourself. What did I do? Was I sensitive? Was I in a bad mood that day? What was going on with me when all this took place? Mm-hmm. You know, was it correct? Am I having a problem with the fact that I was corrected and it was something that needed to happen? Or was the person just nasty?
Because that can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do have to acknowledge what really happened.
What really happened.
Yeah.
It needs to be a conversation. And then from that conversation, deciding to forgive. Because forgiveness is very important. And it's not for the person more than it is for you. Because like you said, your response.
Yes.
You know, your future is going to be predicated on how you respond to this offense. And so forgiveness is a big deal.
It's huge.
It's a huge deal.
It's after salvation, it's the next greatest gift. Okay.
And sacrifice.
Because you do have to forgive. And I can recall in the beginning of my church hurt, I had to keep saying every day, I forgive him. I forgive him. Mm-hmm. I forgive him. And it was years. Yeah. It was years because it's a decision have to make.
It is.
And so what the enemy will do is replay.
He'll
constantly replay the offense.
Yes, he will.
And we got to remember, saints, that offense is a bait. It's what Satan uses to just drag us around and slap us around in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants us to bite that bait to get you out of your posture, you know, to take you away from your purpose,
yeah,
to remove that anointing off your life. So we have to be very careful about that.
Like with that freedom, like you said, it's bait, but that also forms, and one thing that we did not really talk about was a trauma bond, where people have the same type of traumas in church and they get together and they connect. And then they leave and they start a church together.
Oh, my.
Okay, and it becomes Trauma International Ministries. And it's just, y'all just trauma.
And then they put a sign up. If you ever been hurt, come here.
Right. So, yes, like the devil will use those things to, you know, bait us and connect us with the wrong people and, you know, all of that different stuff. So after forgiving, you know, moving forward, once that conversation, all that different things, those happen, the rebuilding trust and that wholeness.
My God.
I think is the remaining factor, the last thing that you need to really do for yourself, you know, as it relates to that, you know.
Yeah. And rebuilding trust is so important because if you don't rebuild trust, you're going to be suspicious about everybody else.
Absolutely.
The next leader you get. Don't let it just be a little sign of something you saw at your last church. You know,
it's a flag. Yes.
Yeah, so you have to make sure that, you know, you really get healed. I guess I should say.
Absolutely.
Really want to be healed from that thing. I noticed that I gave them the wrong scripture in Psalms about David. It was Psalms 55 and 12.
Okay.
I'm sorry to make that correction to the 2 Samuel.
Yes. So, man, we've been able to touch on some interesting things. I definitely think that this could be a part two because there's still some things that we, you know, didn't touch. But I hope that everybody who has taken time to listen today and watch today as well, that if at any time this did resonate with you, evaluate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's certain things that we just need to look back on ourselves and say, okay, let me really, really think about this. Because what we tend to do is we bleed on other people from our own experiences because we refuse to heal. And we feel like talking about it all the time is healing and all that different stuff. It's not, because when you're healed from something, you don't have to keep having discussions about it. You don't have to keep talking about it. You don't have to keep rehearsing it, you know. It's, you've moved on, you've forgiven, you've accepted what's happened, you've acknowledged your part, and you're moving on without wanting to have the extended drama of it all. So you stop having conversations, you know. And so I just hope that today, you know, if you were listening and this resonated with you at all, that you evaluate, you know, if you have been hurt in the church or period, outside of the church. You can use these tools that we listen at the end to help you with any type of hurt that you've experienced from people, you know, as it relates to being able to get over those things and really move on with your life and move on in your purpose. You were going to say something.
I was going to say, and make sure that you're having conversation with people who are healthy.
Because a lot
of times we're having conversation with people who are sick. So make sure the person you're talking to is whole. I'm going to just
drop mic.
I'm going to leave it right there.
What's it saying in the Bible? Selah.
Selah.
Selah. Paul, think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it, Paul.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mom.
You are very
welcome. For joining me as my mommy, but also as a pastor and a leader, a person who has experienced church hurt from being in the pulpit and being in the congregation as well. So you know what that feels like, and you know,
and just remember that Jesus didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
Jesus didn't do it. You still need you. Satan wants to get you away from being with the saints, you still need that fellowship.
You need that.
We were created to know and to be with people. You cannot make it in this life long ranger. You need people. What we're doing today, you see Ashley and I, but there are other people behind the scene mm-hmm. helping this to work.
Absolutely.
And that's the way God created us. One joint supplieth to another. I need my shoulder because my arm got to be on there. And then I need my wrist, you know, for my hand.
Correct.
And so one joint supplieth to another. So to come up with the attitude of I don't need this and I don't need church, that's not the right answer.
Yes.
We need one another, and we need, as the Bible says, to make sure we assemble ourselves together. Mm-hmm. Why? For the fellowship, for the strength.
Yes.
You need to be in the, you know how it feels when you come to church and you're just in the right environment. Don't allow Satan to take you out of what can heal you. Sometimes it's not what somebody say. It could just be the worship.
Mm.
It could be the song. It could be the scripture that was read. It could be the exhortation that comes through the service. Do not decide that you don't need church because you got hurt at church. You didn't quit your job. You didn't stop going to the gas station. You went to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. God knows family can hurt you. And you didn't stop being with your family. Glory to God. Amen. Make sure you get healthy counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Do not just walk away. That is not the way you want to do that. Remember, our response to offense determines our future.
My goodness. Well, this was good to me.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes, I enjoyed it thoroughly, yes. And I hope that those who have been listening have also enjoyed the way that we are starting off season for the Good Morning Podcast. Like I said, we coming in hot. This season, coming in yes. hot this season, but we are in a place of continually working through these transitions in life. Church hurt is a transition.
Yes.
But you got to find the good.
Yeah.
You got to find the good. That's what this is about. This is what this podcast is about. Good morning. Church hurt, morning. That's something that yeah. hurts you. Morning, it's something that's just it can weigh on you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose of it is being able to transition through that thing and still come out on top, okay?
Right.
So make sure that you all are joining us again next week as we continue to find the good in life's transitions.